Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's go, baby! What's up? Upstate South Carolina? How do you do? Great to be back with you. It's Friday. Got to get down on Friday. My last day with you.
Wait,
For a week.
Okay. All right.
I'll be off next week, taking off the vacation. Thanks way in advance to Mr. Dan Scott. Dano, the voice of the Furman Paladins, is going to be filling in for me next week. I am going to be in the great Northeast up in New England, traversing around Boston and Connecticut and New York City. New York City!
I want salsa.
I always want salsa and queso. I will be off next week, headed up to the great Northeast for a little vacation. Gonna be up when I got I fly up tomorrow. I'll be in Boston tomorrow and Sunday, including the Red Sox Yankees game Sunday night. Then I will be in Connecticut Monday and Tuesday. I'll be in New York City Wednesday and Thursday, and then I will be back in Boston on Friday, and I fly back to the Upstate next Saturday. And then next Sunday, I'll be back live on Classic Rock 101.1 for the Carolina kickoff game, which, by the way, thanks to Wings Etc. in Boiling Springs for having us out last night. We had a tremendous time. Really, really enjoyed that. Had a couple of listeners come out and hang out with us. Had a really good time. So thanks to Boiling Springs and Scatels for sponsoring the Carolina kickoff game. But, yeah, I will be out tomorrow. No, sorry. Next week. Out next week, Monday through Friday.
Okay, you know, technically, you'll be out tomorrow.
Technically, I am out tomorrow.
Yeah, you will be.
Technically, I'm out tomorrow. I will be out next week, Monday through Friday. Dan Scott, going to be filling in for you. So my last chance to talk to you guys for the next week is today. Hope that you will be a part of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Phone lines are open at 864-448-3772.
Dude, you got to learn to take cues. You never hit go live. And if I hit
I'm not live yet because I had to restart this whole computer and everything.
Okay. You're in here. How are you in here?
Well, I am now.
Okay. All right. I just, you know.
Can't you push it?
If I push it, I think it will originate from over here. I don't want us to have problems.
Gotcha.
When we know yours works perfectly, so I'd rather go from there.
On-air production, ladies and gentlemen. On-air production. We're good. We're set up. The stream is live. Facebook.com/ESPN Upstate.
Not quite a year yet, and you just can't get the cues.
I'll figure it out eventually.
Okay. All right.
I'll figure it out eventually. Sorry, I was busy watching the Ryder Cup.
So when I point here, that's StreamYard. When I point there, that's look at the TV.
In fairness, I can't. I'm looking side profile this monitor, I know, right past it.
But there's only thing one thing on that, and it's StreamYard. So all right.
That's true. Okay, stream's
but you
up.
Can see what's on StreamYard if you go to ESPN Upstate or where else?
Facebook.com/ESPN Upstate, Twitter.com/ESPN Upstate, or YouTube. Search The Rob Brown Show on YouTube. In fact, if you are utilizing a smart television in your office or your house or your waiting room or your living room or wherever.
Rob's not wearing a hat today.
No, Rob brought the hat. So here's the thing. You ready for the dumbest thing I've said on radio today? It's early in the show. I get a haircut today when I get off the air, right? I got to go get cleaned up for the Boston trip. Then I'm running over to Floor Field to play golf with First Tee Upstate. Then I've got a private tour scheduled for the Shoeless Joe Jackson Memorial after that. So big day. But this hat is...
Do you ever slow down and take a...
Why would I do that?
I mean, you know...
I'm going to die soon, Lonzo. I might as well enjoy it for what I got.
Don't say that. You know? You're not that old.
I don't mean like next week. Okay. I just mean in general.
All right.
Yeah, that being said, the hat's too small when my hair is full and luscious as it is.
Mohawk?
Yeah, man, that's what I was thinking.
Straight up mohawk.
Diet red.
All right,
match
got
the shirt.
To. If you're going to go mohawk, you got to go red.
We're going to be busy on the broadcast today. Ryder Cup underway. The Americans have taken a point. The Europeans have taken a point. Remember, the race is the first to 14 and a half points. 14 and a half points is what you need to win this thing. The Americans did take the early point. The Europeans have gotten one back as Jon Rahm and Sergio Garcia were able to put away Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. So they are done. 1-1 is your score. But of the early four, there are two groups still out on the course, and the Americans lead both of those right now. So if they can finish off the two groupings that are on the Whistling Straits course right now, that will be 3-1 opening for the Americans, which would be incredible start.
Wait. You said we didn't have a shot at this.
You I didn't tell you, I'm blown away.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I got misinformation or something.
Keep in mind, over the course of 3 days, there are 28 points available. All right, 28 points available. We have taken three of the first four. There's a lot of golf left. But very impressed with the Americans so far. Although, as it stands right now, Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger, they are two up through 16. So there's three to play, including the 16 they're on now. And the drives have gotten a little shaky as of late. So nothing is guaranteed, but if the Americans can take 3 out of 4 points early, that would be an incredible jump start to the Ryder Cup. Give them a little bit of breathing room, but again, I don't want to go too crazy.
It's windy out there.
Whistling Straits is very windy. It comes right off the lake right there. It can get a little dicey on you. Coming up at 12:30 in just about 20 minutes, Savannah Lee from Pro Golf Now is going to join us on the show. She is going to give us a full breakdown of this Ryder Cup. We've got four ball this morning. And then later on this afternoon, we've got four best balls, right? So in the morning session, every golfer plays. So Lonzo would hit a shot. I would hit a shot. We would play our shots, and the lower of our two scores would count for the hole. This afternoon, they play alternate shelf golf, which means on hole number one, Lonzo tees off. Then I hit the next shot. Then Lonzo, then me. And then on hole number two, then Lonzo would tee off. Then I would hit the second shot, Lonzo the third. And you alternate players driving. So Lonzo would tee off on the odd numbers. Rob would tee off on the even numbers. And then you alternate shots throughout the course of a hole as you go. That is the format for today. Four in the morning, that is four ball. Four in the afternoon, that's best ball, or excuse me, alternating shots. Then tomorrow, we will play the same format. 4 points in the morning available via four ball means everybody plays their own golf balls, and the lower of the two partners' score is tabulated and counted. In the afternoon, alternating shots. So one tees off, the other plays a second shot, and they alternate tee shots for all 18. Then in the then on Sunday, for the final day of the Ryder Cup, 12 singles pairings. So one guy goes out, one European, one American go out. They play each other. Whoever wins the day wins the point for their team. There are ties in this. So if the Americans and the Europeans were to finish a set, whether it is the morning, get in the hole, God damn it. Whether it is the, I can't say the D word.
No. It sounded like you said something else. I get you didn't.
Oh, I was going to say. I'm a broadcast professional.
Yeah, you stumbled a little bit in the front, and the Bell's palsy was still hanging on just a little bit. And if there's a hint of a possibility of someone thinking you said something, I just wanted to fix it.
Now, I'm a broadcast professional, ladies and gentlemen. The Americans missing a putt to put a match away by about an ounce.
The button, though.
I was like, what did I do?
Yeah, I just didn't want to take a chance of someone hearing something, even though you didn't.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was close, though. Go
back
and listen later.
No, I will. That's fair. Okay, cool. Well, you know, it is what it is. Point is, missed a putt to the Americans by about an inch that would have put away another point. So they will take this one. Berger and Koepka will take this one. Pair of Seminoles, by the way. Pair of Florida State guys. They were getting the tomahawk chop from the Americans as they got on. I love this tournament. We're going to talk about why with Savannah Lee coming up here in just a little while. Carolina Panthers putting away the Houston Texans last night on Thursday Night Football, but it came at great cost. I'm going to tell you about that coming up here in just a minute. News out of the NBA today that will impact the game and I think make some of you old school fans relatively happy. So we're going to talk about that coming up, but it is time to start the show, Lonzo. So let's do that thing you do. The Madre thought I said the bad word too, Lonzo. So you're not alone. The Madre thought I said the bad word too.
Okay, and she's watching on stream?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because if she heard it, yes. Then I didn't.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
She thought I said the bad word too.
Okay.
I didn't. I grumbled angrily as the putt would not fall.
Again, the reaction that you saw from me, that was surprise, and let me go ahead and do this just in case.
Time for the lunch breakdown of three things you have to know before you go start talking sports with your friends, family, coworker, or the dog, whoever you spend your lunch break with. Speaking of the Ryder Cup, a solid start for the Americans as of right now. They are square 1-1 with the Europeans. As our first two matches have come in, Sergio Garcia and John Rahm have knocked off Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth 3-1. Spieth had an incredible shot on 17. The American tee shot, ended up down on the side of Lonzo, a hill about that steep, about an 82-81 degree angle, but in grass that's about shin high. So it actually hung on the side of the hill. He was hitting a pitching wedge or an approach wedge up about 10 yards over his head to the top of this plateau, about an 81 degree angle, and he dropped it to about 4 feet. It was incredible. One of the best golf shots I have, legitimately not trying to exaggerate, one of the best golf shots I've ever seen in my life. And then they missed the putt and gave it away.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they still would have had to have won on 18 to tie. So it's only a half a point mistake ultimately if they assume that they would have won 18. But they did win. They were five down with five to play and won three holes in a row in order to get to that point. So not an awful start, but they could not find it to put it away. So Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth get knocked off by Sergio Garcia and John Rahm. Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger have finished off Lee Westwood and Fitzpatrick. It is final. They win 3-2. So that's a point for the Americans to start. Dustin Johnson, South Carolina's own, ladies and gentlemen, and Colin Morikawa also win 3-2. So that's 2-1 for the Americans. And our final pairing out right now, Ann Poulter and Rory McIlroy versus Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele, remember, won the gold medal in the Olympics for golf this year. He started a little something-something on Twitter when he put up a picture of his gold medal. He brought it with him to the Ryder Cup and asked if it would be too much to use it as his ball marker. No, Xander, that's all it should ever be used for.
Please tell me he's doing that. Don't just say you're going to do it.
He can't because it's too big, but it's in his back. He has it with him. So if at any point he needs a little intimidation check, he can just pull that gold medal out and hold it up and remind Westwood and Poulter and McIlroy who they're up against.
You couldn't get a miniature made before you went?
He had to have, right? I absolutely would have. Anyway, they are through 14, four to play, and Cantlay and Schauffele are four up with four to play. So they can only give away half a point here, but with four to play, I got to imagine that they're going to be able to take one more and win this thing, meaning that the Americans will take 3 of 4 points in the morning session of golf. That is huge That is huge. So that's where we stand. Waiting to see what the pairings are going to be this afternoon. I suspect the Thomas-Spieth pairing is going to be broken up. I imagine Justin Thomas will be sitting this afternoon for the Americans. Jordan Spieth playing great golf. I'd like to see him paired up with Bryson DeChambeau, but we'll see how that goes. We'll talk about that later on. Savannah Lee from Pro Golf Now joins us at 12:35 to talk about that. Item number two on the lunch breakdown. NBA news that I think a lot of you will like. Those of you that have been complaining about the offensive play style of guys like Ice Trey and James Harden, you may get a little bit of relief this year. Officiating changes are coming to the NBA this season, made to eliminate instances of players going out of their way to warp the game beyond the way it normally is played, according to Monty McCutcheon, who oversees the on-court performance of the league's referees. McCutcheon, NBA Senior Vice President, Head of Referee Development and Training, said in a Zoom call yesterday afternoon, quote, "We want basketball to be played, not manipulated." End quote. The NBA has been quick to point out that the revised focus is not on rule changes, but rather interpretive changes, ones designed to eliminate some of the overt foul drawing plays that had become pervasive in recent seasons. We talked about Trae Young, James Harden, even to some degree Giannis Antetokounmpo is guilty of this when they start jumping into defensive players to draw fouls as opposed to being fouls. McCutcheon said, quote, "NBA referees are no longer in the business of what would have happened when the, adding that when there is a, quote, overt, abrupt, or abnormal motion," end quote, "those fouls will not be dismissed." So examples of this, Lonzo, would be like when a shooter has a defender, let's say, ahead into his left, and he goes up for the jump shot, but he jumps ahead into the left and leans into the defender for a foul, or an offensive player who abruptly veers off path into offender, a shooter kicking his leg up or out to the side at an abnormal angle.
That's the one I want to see.
Yes. Yeah. Or an offensive player using his off arm to hook the defender as he goes up for a shot and basically pull them in for a foul. Those will now be disregarded or are supposed to be disregarded by officials. We're going to talk more in depth about this, though, but I think it's good for the game.
I was going
to
say, unless you are KD or LeBron.
Trae Young. James Harden.
There's a couple guys that the rule doesn't apply to, but everybody else, yes.
I'll be intrigued to see if there's a superstar treatment to this. We're going to talk about that later on the show. Finally, item number three on the lunch breakdown, your Carolina Panthers, ladies and gentlemen, 3-0 for just the fifth time in team history after a 24-9 knockdown of the Houston Texans, which was a really, really intense game till about the fourth quarter. It didn't really get broken open until very late in the third and into the fourth, but it comes at a cost, ladies and gentlemen. It comes at a cost as two of the biggest names on the team are now out indefinitely. Christian McCaffrey left the game with a strained hamstring. He ran a little off left run. During that, he kind of did a little hop, and you could see something was wrong. He ran out of bounds, and then a few minutes later was in the medical net tent, and then a few minutes later, he ended up being taken back to the locker room. Just minutes later, he was declared out for the remainder of the game. We do not know the severity of that yet. I am waiting to hear from Elena Getzenberg, our friend of the show up with the Charlotte Observer, to see if we can get some inside information. He was not the only one. J.C. Horn was forced to leave the game as well. A broken right foot for the rookie out of South Carolina, meaning he is likely done for some time, as that broken right foot will need some time to heal. When asked about losing CMC, Cam Irving said, quote, "We're a football team. We're not the Carolina Christian McCaffreys," which, yeah, great, cool. Can we stop pretending like superstars aren't important to an offense? Can we stop pretending that you can just plug in the next guy and get Christian McCaffrey performance?
That's a little bit mean answering it that way. I get it. I get what he's saying, but that's kind of I will say that Chuba Hubbard got better as the game went on. He definitely doesn't have the burst that Christian McCaffrey has, but could have been a whole lot worse, and I thought he got better by the end of the game. Still going to be a problem for sure.
Yeah, he's going to end up being the starter. 52 yards on 11 carries, added 3 catches for 27 as well to Chuba Hubbard. The number 8 overall draft pick, J.C. Horn, non-contact injury. It was kind of weird. He was just kind of backpedaling it around, and then he just went down like a sniper got him.
Yeah, but whenever you see a guy lay there and they just immediately motion for someone to come over, it's pretty bad.
Never good. No immediate word on how long he'll be sidelined. Matt Rhule said, quote, "We love those guys. We're going to help them get better. J.C. will be back. J.C. Horn is a special, special, special football player," end quote. We're going to break that game down in more detail as the show rolls on. Here's what I got scheduled for you today. Coming up at 12:30, Savannah Lee of Pro Golf Now is going to join us to talk Ryder Cup. At 1:35, Kevin Marshall of FCS Nation will join us on the show. We'll break down where Furman and Wofford stand, as well as the rest of the FCS at 1:35. Then at 2 o'clock, Kevin Thomas from Moving the Chains is going to join us here on the show, and we'll talk about all of the prep high school football action in the area this weekend. What are you laughing at?
Some loving had me a blast.
Rob is rocking the 78 Danny Zuko from Grease look today. Hey, man. When you look good, you look good, all right? Quick break. We're back after this. Rob Lonzo, you. This is the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is ESPN Upstate. Welcoming back to the show, longtime friend of the show, friend of mine both on the air and off. She is a writer for ProGolfNow.com. She is our go-to for all things golf, and there's a little event taking place up at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin right now that we're going to dive into. My friend, the great Savannah Lee, joins us here on the show. Savannah, welcome back. Good to have you. Happy Ryder Cup Day.
Happy Ryder Cup Day. Excited to be back. I'm just glad that the Americans are up 3-1. What a morning.
What a start, right? Like, and here's the thing. I got to tell you, I've been talking to people about this, Savannah. And let's jump right into it. I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, that I thought with all of the drama, of course, we've been watching Brooks and Bryson, and I kind of fell into the trap. Honestly, I said at the beginning, I'm like, I think this is manufactured to get clicks, but then I let myself believe it was real, and they seem like they're cool now, or at least cool enough. All of the drama about Patrick Reed not being selected to the team by Steve Strait, there was all this drama, and I kind of thought, well, the Americans might be up against it here. I think this is going to be a real tough go of it, but here they come out. 3-1 to open. They were a Jordan Spieth par putt away from potentially getting a half a point. What a hell of a start for the guys!
Yeah, I was really impressed. Kind of disappointed in JT and Spieth to, you know, pick the L to open up the day. But you know, going up against Sergio and John Rahm, it's hard to get one of those. I'll take a 3-1 lead heading into the afternoon of day one. Really proud that Brooks went out there and did his thing. He had a couple, you know, weary shots, but for the most part, the Americans came out there and were just like, no, that we are on American soil. We are handling our business, and let's do it. I mean, the fact that Rory and Posty lost 5-3, that's never happened in either one of them's career in the Ryder Cup. So I'm excited. Things are fixing to get interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking about the only point you lost this morning was to John Rahm, a guy who's playing incredible golf this year, a guy who a lot of us thought probably should have been the PGA Player of the Year this season. Patrick Cantlay had a really good end of the season run, and he ended up taking it away. When you consider the fact that Sergio and John Rahm are playing probably the best golf of either of their careers, you know, to say that you walked out of there 3-1 instead of 2-2 or worse, I don't think that Steve Stricker could have asked for a better start.
Yeah, no, I think it's just, it's something that, you, of course, you want to win all of them, but you won't. Not when you have Sergio and Rahm, who are, you know, absolutely incredible. And with Sergio having 25 individual Ryder Cup points himself, like he is, and I know everybody calls Posty the king of the Ryder Cup, but I have to say that Sergio might be. And so to be able to lose 3-1, I think is an excellent loss if there ever is one. I think it'll give JT and Spieth, you know, a little bit of motivation to play better moving forward. And, you know, if we have to lose one, that's one I understand.
Savannah Lee from ProGolfNow.com joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upset. You can follow her on Twitter at SportsGirlSL. Tremendous follow during the Ryder Cup. One of the things I love, and we'll talk more about the golf itself in a minute, Savannah, but this, people have asked, like, why is this such a big deal, right? It's not just a golf tournament. I mean, you've got the pride of having the flag on the sleeve and playing in front, but when you're playing in Wisconsin and you got a bunch of drunk, rowdy Packers fans and you've got fans from all over the country, I've got friends there from Florida, I got friends there from Louisiana, I got a friend there from Texas. I mean, this is genuinely the Olympics of golf, right? And it's such a different environment than what we traditionally think of when we think about golf. I don't know how you can't be excited by this.
Yeah, this is the one outside of maybe the President's Cup, but even then they don't get nearly this rowdy, that you can actually cheer, boo, and essentially be a football fan at a golf event. And when you say to people who love football, especially in the South, that they can go to this venue and cheer and drink at 7 o'clock in the morning and have a good time all day long for 4 days straight, even the week if you go for practice rounds and stuff, like, who wouldn't want to jump on that? Kirby Smart said in his press conference 2 times this week how excited he was for the Ryder Cup and Harris English. Everybody loves this event. And if you can't get on with it, like, evidently you haven't watched it, or you just – golf isn't for you, which is really hard. My mom's in town for Thursday, and one of my best friends from high school is with her, and they're all horse people. But I put it on this morning, and they started seeing the people chant and stuff. And she's like, okay, this is an event that I could go to. So those who don't get excited or don't get it, they just need to turn the TV on for a little while and just absorb it. I think we need to see more crowd stuff, and we need a hype person out there to make them even more rowdy. But I love it. It's probably my favorite event above SEC Championship, National Championship, any of it. I love the Ryder Cup.
Savannah Lee from Golf Now, ProGolfNow.com, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. What does it mean to the golfers, right? Like, we hear the interviews coming in, but when you look at Brooks and Bryson, even if, let's say for the sake of the discussion, their entire beef is manufactured, right? Let's just say that they're doing it for clickbait and they're doing it to win some of that money at the end of the year for generating interest. The fact that they would be doing that, whether it's real or for a little bit of that cash payout at the end of the year, that they say, you know what, even if it costs us some money, let's put this aside. The fact that Patrick Reed basically had all but a social media meltdown when he wasn't picked to be on this team, this tournament means something for these guys.
When you can wear that American flag on your arm or wherever they have it on their shirts and stuff, meet the Europeans, and, you know, it is kind of like the Olympics of golf. And the fact that they don't have to worry about all the other countries, but just this small group of countries, it's kind of like the rivalry that we all love. Like, we all love a good rivalry in college football, and this is that for golf. And so to be able to represent your country and earn bragging rights over some of the other best golfers in the world because you're playing for your country, it's incredible. It's hard to really fathom. And I would have been somebody if Patrick Reed was healthy. He should have been on the team, but just because of that fiery passion that he has during the Ryder Cups. But I get why. And then I think Bryson loves it. I even think Brooks loves it deep down, even though he doesn't act like it. I just think it's something that holds weight. It holds truth. And they just, you know, to be able to say I was on a Ryder Cup team means that you were able to represent your country and make your country proud. And so it's something that's just, you know, really special to them. And I understand why. I'd love to see somebody actually, like, ask them, you know, think about it, guys. What does it really mean? And to see how many of them actually kind of get emotion. I mean, Steve Stricker was crying in the opening ceremonies as a captain. You know, that's just awesome. It's just, you're coming together in a time where nobody wants to come together. And so it's awesome to just see that.
Savannah Lee joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. So we got the format in the morning. four ball, everybody plays their own. Second session this afternoon is alternating shots. So golfer A will drive on the even number holes, golfer B on the odd, and then they alternate shots after the drive. When Steve Stricker is looking at pairings, right, and he's approaching the afternoon shot, what are your thoughts? Do you think he has any specific chemistry he's looking for? Like, if you're in charge of putting guys together, what would be your approach to trying to find the right duos that complement each other to send out there, especially when you've got the lead that you have? And if you can add another point or two to it heading into Saturday, you got to feel real good about it.
Yeah, I think the way he did it this morning with the pairings and stuff was really smart. You have guys that are kind of close with each other. They're good friends. They either went to school together or whatever. And so I think I'd carry that into the afternoon and have guys that do play well together, like Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele or DJ and Colin. I think I'd throw them out there again. But then again, you have to find somebody to play with Bryson. I want to see the Bryson-Brooks pairing just to see how it works out. I think today would be the day to do it because you can either make up for it tomorrow or, you know, it could be a situation. But I think we all want to see it. We all keep wanting it. And so do it. Just do it, guys. I mean,
just do it. Just do it. Savannah Lee joining us here on the show. Here's one thing. I actually meant to ask you this before we got into the golf. I'm watching right now, and the I'm watching the wrap-up coverage from the first session, and they were just doing this big interview with Steph Curry, who's out there. Of course, NBA legend, superstar, one of the best probably five, six, seven players in the league right now. And one of the things I'm enjoying is that as time goes on, Savannah, we're actually seeing golf kind of get to a point where there are some folks that would be considered traditionally cool, guys like Steph Curry, who are getting big into golf. And so to have this event and to have guys in there, he's not the only NBA guy there, but to have guys like Steph there and have college football head coaches like Kirby Smart making a point of talking about it, this event is probably one of the most valuable resources that golf in as a sport has in its bag to try to continue to increase the popularity.
Oh, 100%. Steph Curry is getting more and more into it. You know, I know he does holy moly. That's besides the point. But him, he plays. He does golf incentives with the youth, and he's done stuff with, I think, with Davidson. Steph Curry is a huge advocate for the golf world without him even being a professional golfer, and I absolutely love it. I think these are the events that you can grow the game because they are so much fun and they are so electric, and people can fall in love with it and then they'll learn to appreciate when it does get serious for the Masters or for major championships and stuff like that. And so I think you're 100% right. The Ryder Cup is something that can draw a crowd, can draw young people to want to play. And I think that's the biggest goal right now, is keeping this game growing in a right direction of it being able to be fun, but also for them to be able to kind of test the limits of what golf and new golf traditions that could be. I think, you know, being able to cheer and stuff is something that we need to continue, maybe at the Players or something outside the Ryder Cup. And I don't think it would take away any kind of specialness from the Ryder Cup. But, you know, the fact that they're telling people that you can cheer, and then you have young people seeing Bryson hit it the way he does and have so many people taking a different approach to the game. I think golf is trending upwards. And it's something I'm really excited to see, because Steph Curry out there, heck yeah, Justin Timberlake, all these guys that so many young people love. And the fact that they play golf, oh, I want to pick up a golf club too. So I love it.
Talking to Savannah Lee from ProGolfNow.com here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. All right, Savannah, we got another minute or two left. We've got, obviously, the alternating shot format this afternoon. We'll run today's format back tomorrow, and then singles competition on Sunday. The Americans take a 3-1 lead. Not commanding, but very good out of the AM portion of Friday. Give me your expectations for the weekend. Give me your prediction for this tournament.
Oh, Lordy. I think the Americans are going to pull out a really tight win on Sunday. I think it's going to come down to Sunday like it has the last couple of Ryder Cups. But the thing that the Americans need to do is stay aggressive in today's afternoon session and into tomorrow's sessions as well, because I feel like sometimes they get a little complacent and send guys out there that, you know, should be able to make a point, but they don't always do it. And so I think Steve Stricker, Davis Love, and the rest of the assistant captains really need to take an aggressive approach. The Europeans are always aggressive. While they are strategic, they take this event to a new level, and Patrick is going to stay as aggressive as possible, especially after going down 3-1 after the first morning session. And so I think you need to have a juggernaut kind of showdown matchup where you throw the aggressive guys out there and say, let's play ball, score some points, and prove that Americans can hang right with the Europeans. And so I got the Americans winning maybe by a point or even half a point on Sunday. But it's going to be close, and I think these two captains know what it means to be aggressive and try to win this for their country.
All right, who wins it on Sunday? Are we celebrating with the red, white, and blue, or the Europeans continuing their dominance?
Team USA all the way, by half point or a point.
Love it. Love it. That is Savannah Lee from ProGolfNow.com. Follow her on Twitter at SportsGirlSL all the way through the Ryder Cup. Savannah, tremendous to talk to you. Glad to have you back on. We'll break this whole thing down next week.
Sounds good, Rob. Thanks, Kim.
There you go. That is the great Savannah Lee, SportsGirlSL on Twitter. And you can see her work at ProGolfNow.com as the Americans take a 3 out of possible 4 points away from the Europeans in the AM session. We'll start getting our pairings for the afternoon session from Captain Stricker coming up very soon. Rob Lonzo, you. It's ESPN Upstate. All right, I know this is coming out of nowhere, but I'm in love with what just happened. Barstool Sports put out an article where they ranked the most annoying college football stadiums. And Barstool Sports headline, Lonzo, is, quote, South Carolina has the most annoying football stadium in America, and it's all thanks to this stupid screaming bird, which is hilarious to me, right?
Wait, so Cocky screams?
Well, over the PA, whenever there's a play that, I can't do it, but yes, they play a very loud game cock noise.
Oh, you're talking about the rooster crow?
Yes, yeah, the crow, yeah.
Okay, all right.
So,
okay.
They said,
yo, city people, how do you think you get your chicken breast when you go out to eat?
They said South Carolina has the most annoying stadium in America because of the, quote, stupid screaming bird. Shane Beamer just tweeted out, hey, Eric Nichols. And I believe Eric Nichols is, he is the associate AD for South Carolina. He said, hey, Eric Nichols, what's our record for the most times we've ever played that stupid screaming bird during a game? Let's double it tomorrow night. Rooster emoji, Spurs up emoji. Thanks. I had to tell you.
You think Beamer does his own social?
I think he does.
I hope
based
so.
On the way he talks in the press conferences, it's very similar to the way that the tweets come out. I think he does. And even if he doesn't, he lets his people put out tweets like this. I've said a number of times, though, I don't know if he's the guy, but I really hope he is, because he's got the potential to be very Spurrier-like. And that the people in South Carolina will lay down in front of a train for this coach.
He is
already and everybody else
like,
is going to hate him.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. All these little things, these are Spurrier digs. They are,
oh,
without
yeah.
a doubt.
That how many times, what's the record for most times we've played the stupid screaming bird? Let's double it. Because the Gamecock fans love it. And if you're anybody but a Gamecock fan, yeah, it's annoying. But for them, go bananas.
Is it really? It's just a rooster, man. I mean, I can see where it would be annoying if you're trying to sleep at 8 o'clock in the morning and your neighbor has chickens, but you're there. What do you expect?
You ever been to a Tennessee game?
No, thank God.
Okay. Tennessee, their band.
I don't want to hear Rocky Top if that's what you're talking about.
Their band plays Rocky Top every 30 seconds. Every time, like, you know, like every band has like a little 20-second thing that they do whenever something good happens. Third down, stop. They play it. First down, they play it, whatever. Rocky Top, they're like, oh, the coach came out of the tunnel, Rocky Top. Oh, that player just put on his helmet, Rocky Top. Oh, that guy just pulled up his socks, Rocky Top. That fan just drank a beer, Rocky Top. That fan just drank a beer, Rocky Top. That fan just drank a beer, Rocky Top. First and 10, they got a 1 yard run, Rocky Top. It's awful. It goes over the top. But if you're a Tennessee fan, you don't give a good garsh darn. You don't care at all. I'm here for it. I love that Beamer's like leaning into it. Barstool Sports says that stupid screaming bird, and Shane's like, Spurs up, give it to me. Love this guy. Love this guy. Come back, wrap up hour number one next at 1:35. We'll be joined by Kevin Marshall of SCS Nation. 2 o'clock, Kevin Thomas for Moving the Chains to break down local prep football. All that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Texter says ESPN, hell yeah, Shane. Shane said, can I get a hell yeah? Another text says ESPN, Rocky Top in college and the band riff Go Pack Go in Green Bay for the NFL are way worse than the Gamecock Stadium. Not even close. You are correct. You are correct.
And if I recall, the Rooster sounds kind of distant, even though it's going to, it's just, yeah.
I have not made it to Will It Be yet for a game. I will this year. The lady friend is a Gamecock, and she's like, you have to get us tickets. Yes. So I will be at a South Carolina game this year. It sucks because the two I wanted to go to were Kentucky and Tennessee this week and next week, and I'm in Boston. But we'll be there. I want to hear it in person. I absolutely do. Can't wait. Same for Clemson. I haven't been to a game at Clemson yet either. I'll fix that problem this year too. All right, next hour, Kevin Marshall of FCS Nation joins us at 1:35, and we break down those two games, Clemson and South Carolina, all that and more coming up in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be, if I may, award-winning caliber on the Rob Brown Show at ESPN Upstate.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.